Greetings from upstate New York. Welcome to the Pastor Duke Podcast. What a joy it is for me to share my heart with you as we wade through these dark times in the final days of the Church of Jesus Christ, looking for the soon return of our Lord and Savior Jesus. It's great to be with you today. I hope what I have to share with you will be a blessing. We are all in a critical battle facing the enemy. Bible says, be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. We are told in one of the great prophecies of the end time scenario that evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. 2 Timothy 3:13. We need to have more discernment than the enemy has deception. Today we'll focus on the biblical steps towards discernment. We will expose any groupthink. We will expose Satan's agenda and his works, his devices. The Bible says we are not ignorant of his devices. We will land, praise the Lord, on faith and rejoice in the victory which is guaranteed to us in our Savior Jesus Christ. So here we go. Warning right up front. When you become informed, when you become enlightened and begin to speak out, immediately those who are in darkness will cry out that one and only Bible verse they all seem to know, judge not lest ye be judged. Let's clearly identify these terms for a moment. Judgment is coming to an uninformed opinion, speaking before you have the facts, and later being embarrassed when the facts do come out. Discernment, totally different. Discernment is when you have the facts and you stand on them and speak out upon them. God is the judge, not you or I. Discernment is God's reward to those who diligently seek it, which brings us to our first point. Number one, steps of biblical discernment. If any man lack wisdom, James 5:1, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him. Bible says also in James, we have not because we ask not. If you don't seek, you won't find. But you see, we have different sources, the source of self, what I think and what I've learned, or we have access to the mind of God. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So God can become a resource, but before God provides us that wisdom, He wants us to ask. He's our heavenly Father. There's always the relationship. He wants us to come to Him. That's humility. God gives grace to the humble. So number one, most important of all, sometimes we throw it away like it's not important. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. God is our source. Number two, develop a biblical worldview. The Bible gives us the timeline of future events. We call that in theology eschatology, the study of future events. It was all laid out in the Bible. History is no mystery. It's not a series of coinkydinks. God told us what to expect. If you don't know the enemy's agenda, you won't see it fitting together. You know, if you were to join the United States military, first thing they would do is get you physically fit. They'd get you in uniform. They would get you under authority, learning to keep rank. They would get you familiar with your weapon. And then they would give you the wisdom, the understanding, how the enemy thinks, how he fights. And the Bible goes to great length to teach us these things. We develop a biblical worldview so we know what to expect. Number three, we study the enemy. God gave us his agenda and God gave us his devices. We know from Jesus that Satan's the father of all lies. We know that he is a murderer from the beginning. We know from Genesis 3, he was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. We know he's the angel of light. When he begins to move, oftentimes people who are biblically ignorant have a sense that evil is good. Good is evil. He's really good at that. He's an angel of light. He's the prince and power of the air. He's the prince of this world. He is the accuser of the brethren. So we're not ignorant of his devices. We know his agenda. We know who he is. We know how he works. Study the enemy. Number four, don't focus on all the smoke screen. Here's where things get really interesting. When our eyes are on what he stages, you see, Satan can stage events that affect our eye, that affect our heart. I think the Floyd murder or the incident in Minneapolis perhaps was staged. Many things can be staged, and they're just so compelling. They're so overwhelming. They move our emotions. They cause us to head into a direction with all of our might and so confident that we're doing the right thing, and yet perhaps we didn't have all of the information. Don't focus on the smoke screens. The enemy can use those to divert us away from the main event. I would suggest that the mainstream news media talking points each day would be oftentimes a diversion away from the things they don't want you to be focusing on. Huge step number 5, be diligent. Read the fine print. Here's an example. United Nations Agenda 21. It's been out 10, 15 years, nothing new. They slipped it in on the world kind of as a fast one, I would say, where a lot of the world bought in as it was marketed so cleverly, so subtly to the world in a pretty package of sustainable growth. Well, who's not for sustainable growth? That's exactly what we want. But when you read the small print, it begins to reveal the eugenics agenda of the United Nations to reduce the world population from 7.4 billion to 500 million. That sounds like the work of the devil. Read the fine print. Be diligent. Number 6, don't let emotions move you. God gave our emotions to be a servant, not our master. Seek the truth. Wait on the Lord. Ask questions. Don't take things at face value. Number 7, look at the visible characters. Who are they in bed with? That will tell you a lot. What is their history? Vet them out. That which is divine has no fear of rational inquiry. What are they trying to hide? Where have they once stood? All these fabulous political video clips through the years are in store. When I see a politician taking a strong stand against the southern border wall, and then I hear them take the exact opposite stand when there was a different president, makes me suspect. I've identified a politician above a statesman. You see, a statesman has a position, has values, and they will always make decisions with according to the principles. Politician is opposite of that. Politician is always waiting and watching. How is the world around us moved? What does the group think now? I'll go with that if it can gain me power and popularity. Look at the visible characters, vet them out. Who are they in bed with? Where did they once stand? Why have they changed their view? A lot of wisdom can be gained by seeing where people were and where they are today. Number 8, this is a huge one. Follow the money. Who has funded this organization? Who is funding this cause? Who is in line to gain financially from this political direction? Who is in line to gain from the sale of a vaccine? How do family members of politicians financially get huge gains that seem to come out of nowhere? Follow the money. Watch the book deals. Watch the consultant fees. Such easy ways to launder money towards politicians who are using their position for gain. Number 9, be alarmed but not surprised when you see reoccurring names emerging from backstage. I promise you that on a lot of the issues that are in our face in the news, familiar names will emerge. Soros, Rockefeller, Gates, Turner, Rothschilds, Prince Andrew, the Clintons, Obama. You learn a lot by who people are in bed with. You learn a lot by what people are doing backstage. You learn a lot by watching what people are connected to each other. Number 10, you begin to connect the dots. You know the agendas from the scriptures. You know the enemy's tactics, his lies, his fraud, his deception, his intimidation, his threats, his blackmail, blacklisting, censorship, violence, cheating. You know all of that. So I'd recommend we don't believe what we originally see. The enemy can stage events. Be analytical. Pray your way through. Look to the Lord. Continually ask for wisdom. Ask the Lord to show you what's going on. Be cautious who you trust. Reagan once said, verify. And as you do along the way, you'll have these aha moments when you've triangulated truth. I hear some things on a little news clip, not the mainstream news, and it just seems so far-fetched. It's like, I don't know, man, that's pretty extreme. But it registers, and I wait upon it. I think about it, and it just kind of file away in the back of my mind. And then 3 days later, 3 weeks later, 3 months later, something else emerges that affirms what I once heard. I like to call that triangulating truth. Don't believe everything you see. The enemy is wise. He loves to use sleight of hands. And those are so exciting moments when you have that realization, that moment like, oh my goodness, this is what's happening. When you're on the outside, expect to be labeled. As you study, I guarantee you will be outside the mainstream narrative as you continue to look to the scripture, because Satan's the prince of power of the air. But as you gain wisdom, you'll be on the outside of the mainstream media, and you can expect to be rejected. You can expect to be labeled a conspiracy theorist, deplorable, racist, homophobe, xenophobe. I remember what I didn't even know what that word meant, but that's what I was called. A white supremacist, if you're white. An Uncle Tom, if you're black. Most recently, Trump's chumps. That's okay. Didn't Jesus say, blessed are ye when all men shall revile you and speak against you falsely? For so persecuted they the prophets. They killed Jesus. So should we expect to have an easier way than our master? But take heed, those who conspired to kill Jesus, those who hated him the most on the Jewish side, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, Annas, the former high priest, Pilate, the present high priest, colluded together to destroy Jesus. They colluded with the Roman authorities, Pilate, Tetrarch in Judea, Herod, Tetrarch in Samaria. They get together diabolically to eliminate this Jesus once and for all. But the thing that thrills my soul is this. All of their hatred for Jesus and actions against Jesus only fulfilled the promise of Jesus. How cool is that? Jesus was commandingly in control of the situations. They came to arrest Jesus. John's gospel says his arresters fell back as dead men. It's as though Jesus had to raise them from the dead in order for them to proceed with the arrest. The trials, it's so funny. Pilate says, don't you know who I am? Don't you know the power that I have over you? Jesus smiles and says, the power that you have was given unto you by my Father. Jesus was commandingly in control of the situation even when it looked bleak. It wasn't their plans overpowering his plan. Oh, no, not at all. It was God's plan. You see, God doesn't have a plan B. He doesn't need one. And I would say to my Christian friends who are very alarmed at some of the things that we see in the political arena around us, be not deceived. Fear not, I think Jesus would say. I believe our Lord would say, what do you see happening that should be of any surprise to you who've read the scriptures, who know the prophecies? So here we are. We have people rising up to bring forth the new world order. We have a political party that is set on globalism. They're set on allowing this nation to be turned from our constitution. They are set in bringing in a new way, a new, what did Obama call it, fundamentally changing America. And they're deceived, I believe, thinking they're doing a good thing, but all the while, God's in control. He sits at the right hand of the Father in heaven. He sits and watches it and he laughs. And these people who are fighting against him are only fulfilling his plan. So Christian, don't be deceived. Don't be upset. Don't forget we win this thing. And so it's game on. It's a battle. We're in it, but we don't face it alone. We've been told the end from the beginning. We know who wins. We know the what. The Antichrist will arise from a new world order and sit on the throne in Jerusalem, claim to be God. We know the what, we know the why, we just don't know the when and the how.
But 2020, like no other year, has given us some clear 2020 vision, I like to say, indicators on how that may come to pass. We know the mark will be mandatory, the mark of the beast. And now there's a lot of talk that this vaccine will be mandatory. Its creator, somebody financially behind it, Bill Gates, is so excited about this vaccine for the whole world. And the evidence that you've had it, the luciferase in the ingredient to be easily detected, easily scanned, you're in or you're out. You can't get on an airplane if you don't have it. I don't know if that's going to happen or not, but that's what he's saying. And I'm listening to him. He's a man of position. He's a man of power. He's a man of influence. That's his goal. And his goal fits exactly with the biblical scenario that I've been preaching for 50 years before Bill Gates even went to, what, one semester of college, before he discovered all the Microsoft technology in his garage. So there's people thinking they're doing good things, and yet they're falling into the hand of the enemy to bring to pass his agenda. It's so exciting to study all this out. Number 11, be my last one, very important one, Ephesians 6. Put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the devil. The wily one, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. That's Christ in us, living out his life, the belt of truth, the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, always staying on mission, holding up the shield of faith, whereby we will be able to quench all of the fiery darts of the devil. I'm seeing a lot of Christians these days kind of downhearted, concerned, fearful for the things that they see coming upon the earth. And I'm saying, take joy, rejoice. Our salvation draweth nigh. Wouldn't you rather be part of the persecuted minority walking in the light than in the pampered majority who are living in darkness, heading unknowingly into destruction? What a joy that is ours to have a Bible who told us exactly what to expect. Some concluding thoughts today as we look at the biblical steps towards discernment. By their fruits ye shall know them. By their fruits ye shall know them. 9 months into this COVID battle, there are states that have had the most deaths and the greatest economic losses, who also had the greatest assets and still the worst results. Have you noticed? They're all blue states politically. They handle the problem with the Democratic approach to COVID. These are just the facts. And their governors completely blame-shifted and self-justified. Trump gave everything to Cuomo at warp speed, the hospital ship, the Javits Center, which were left almost completely empty. Meanwhile, Cuomo puts COVID patients back into the rest homes where 11,000 innocent New York seniors died. The mainstream media, crickets. Cuomo blames it all on Trump, and the media makes Cuomo out to be a hero, a rising star now among the Democratic Party. By their fruits, you shall know them. It's not rocket science. Connecting the dots. So amazing. So be wise as serpents. Be harmless as doves. Know and follow the biblical principles. Facts first, emotions later. Wait upon the Lord. Pray for wisdom. Expect persecution and rest in him, knowing that the victory is ours through Jesus Christ our Lord. He promised to come to deliver us from this present evil world. And he said, when you begin to see all these things come to pass, look up, your redemption draweth nigh. And so we look to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, our Savior Jesus Christ, who died upon the cross for our sins. He was buried. He rose again. We call that the gospel. The gospel, you have to take the medicine. Jesus is the medicine. If these things that you're fearing and bring nervousness to you are moving you and you're seeking God, today's the day of salvation. If you haven't made the commitment, do it today. Bow your head. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. I remember praying that prayer of salvation June 18, 1972. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I'm sorry. Please help me. I believe that Jesus is the Savior, the Son of God. He died. He was buried. He rose again. Please come into my heart and save me. Change me from the inside out. I commit my life to you. And be you ready for such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Well, thanks for joining with me today. Please like, if you like it, press like, let me know you're there. Subscribe, share it with your friends. May you help me get the word of God out. Now, what a joy it is to be involved in the work of the Lord. What a joy it is. I'm getting back on the road these days. I had 4 invitations to preach prophecy conferences around the country. I'm excited about it. So thanks for joining in today. As always, eyes on the Lord, hand on the plow. Jesus loves you. So do I. God bless.